You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast on this Tuesday. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall all with you for this week's golf action. The Portugal Masters and the Fries.com Open. Our thoughts coming to you very, very shortly. First of all, a warm welcome back to Mr. Grenham, who's been dearly missed on the podcast the last couple of weeks.
Dave, I'm trying to keep my card on the golf podcast in the US and Europe, so I'm having to mix my schedule.
I don't think he's done enough events, has he? 15?
No. Do you think he's not qualified?
Sponsors exemptions.
You think so?
Yeah, I think I need a few of those.
You've got a medical exemption.
That's what I need.
Looking forward to this week immensely. A couple of decent events. But firstly, Mike, I don't know if you checked out any of last week's golf action, but the President's Cup provided a little bit of drama.
Well, I wasn't staying up all night for that, Dave. I'm not going to lie about it. But I did see bits of it that when it was more UK time friendly. And as we all said, Bill Haas was a great pick and won it for them.
Yeah. He did.
That's right, isn't it?
He got the final point to bring home the President's Cup for his father, Jay.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I mean, I got up on early Sunday morning to watch
the.
I did watch the
dedication.
Yeah. I watched the
afternoon rerun.
Yeah, I did. I watched the final few holes on the Sunday morning.
I watched that
and saw Bill Haas beating Sangmun Bae. Disappointing how Sangmun Bae finished, considering he starts his hiatus from now, duffing that chip, reminiscent of Hunter Mahan back in the Ryder Cup a few years ago. And
not much to cheer him as he goes into national service.
No, precisely. And he's got to think about that for 2 years now, hasn't he? He can't quickly bounce back and win an event now.
I'm sure they'll keep him busy, though, won't they? It's not like he's... Well, in solitary confinement, it'll be a pretty active thing to do.
I've heard it described as being like prison. I saw a few quotes from people saying that it was like prison doing the military service. So we'll have to see how he bounces back from that.
Golf's always like a mental game, isn't it? I wonder how he sort of comes out the other side, whether everything will be in perspective and whether he'll just freewheel it.
We needed that from the President's Cup, though, didn't we, Mike?
Yeah,
an event like that,
a
decent finish.
Really tight, and the international team, obviously, with Day leading the way and people like that. There's some good players coming through, isn't there? Matsuyama and others, so... Well, golf looks to be in a good place, isn't it? There's some exciting young players. Mm.
Matt Fitzpatrick, winner of the British Masters, played outstandingly well from tee to green. Mm. I wonder whether, Dave, that form will translate overseas. I wonder whether he's going to stick with the European Tour or go on the PGA Tour and so on and so forth.
Well, he won the US Amateur, of course, so he has done well in America before, but... I hope he doesn't.
He'll stay in Europe for now, won't he? Is he a chubby Chandler? I think he is. In his stables. I'd say he'd stay in Europe for a bit at least.
He'll obviously get some starts when he gets into the Bridgestone, doesn't he, next year on the back of that win. Hmm. But yeah, I think it'd better to keep honing his game. I mean, did we mention him last week? I know I mentioned him.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because it did seem a good course for him, didn't it? A sort of tree lined, and he hit an awful lot of fairways last week, so. And he did it really well, didn't he? He sort of found some birdies on the back nine when the others were stalling. So, yeah, it had been coming, hadn't it? He'd had a lot of top threes and, it looks like a real one for the future, isn't it?
Yeah, good player.
Fabrizio Zanotti got a full place for the podcast, which was nice, at 66-1. He looked like he could win on the back nine, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he got very short, I think about 13-8 at one point.
Covers all the bets and more, doesn't it, at 66s?
Yeah.
Good effort.
Good shout, that.
Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. We'll start with the Portugal Masters, where Martin Kaymer is the 10-1 favourite here with William Hill. Bernd Wiesberger is 12-1. Chris Wood, Søren Kjeldsen and Tommy Fleetwood, all 20s. Alexander Levy is 25-1. Thomas Peters is 28s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. This event, a little bit of a washout last year. Tournament reduced to 36 holes. Alexander Levy still managed to post 18 under,
which is ridiculous, really, isn't it?
And this is a course that players can rip apart. Since its inception back in 2007, the event has been hosted at this golf club, the Oceanico Victoria Golf Course in Villamora. Steve Webster won with a total of minus 25 in 2007. Englishman Lee Westwood and Tom Lewis have both gone sub 20 in their winning years as well. The course, an Arnold Palmer design, but it is, Dave, a course that players can really take advantage of because it's a resort course.
Yeah. Have I played it? Are we going to ask? No. I played
those
Villamora courses, but I can't remember.
Not this one.
I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, it's basically a bomber's course. The Arnold Palmer courses normally are, aren't they? You can normally give it a rip. And the rough is pretty minimal. You look at some of the players who've done well there. Levy obviously likes to give it a whack. Cole Sartz was right up there last year. Alvaro Quiroz won it in 2008.
Yeah.
So bombers, I was looking at bombers who put well. I think it's one of those courses this week, as a lot of resort courses are, aren't they?
It's a big event for those looking to retain their card for next year as well. They've got this weekend, then next week in Hong Kong, Mike. So there's a little bit of added pressure for those just on the fringes.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I totally agree with Dave that it's a bombers course. Are you in that camp?
No, I think it's an advantage to hit the ball a distance, but
it always is.
I don't think it's necessarily a massive positive though. Because
When I look at the players that have. The players who've won there in recent years. David Lim won, didn't he? Yeah. He's not massively long. It's actually a bit of a curious egg you get.
Richard Green has won here as well.
Yeah.
He's not long.
I think putting is more important than anything else here.
Good putting, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, what was the question you asked, Dave? I was one behind there.
I was just saying that there's a lot of pressure on those just on the fringes, you know, the 110-115 spots they've got this week and next week. Mm. I kind of agree with you, though, about the putting's a necessity, and that tempers my enthusiasm slightly when I'm thinking of, because we always mention on this podcast putting from week to week is difficult to predict, isn't it, and quantify.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Least easy to predict, and someone gets hot, who knows what happens on the practice ground. They suddenly get something works for them, they start putting well, don't they, and you just don't know. I've only got one bet in the event. I've gone for someone who can put a little bit. You've got to hole. If you're going to, you're going to have to get to win this week, 20 under probably.
Yeah, easily.
I think. So it's self-evident that you've got to be putting well, I think. Mm.
Okay, I've got one selection as well.
Yeah,
Dave?
One as well.
Okay, one.
I'll go first.
Yeah, you're coming back to the podcast.
Yeah,
Mike.
I'll go first. I have gone for a speculative pick here, I have to say. A guy who's not in fantastic form of late, probably since the Lioness Open back in June. Gary Stahl has not had a top 10 since then. He was ninth in that event. Missed a couple of cuts. His last couple of events, he did make the cut, though, at the British Masters and at the Alfred Dunhill. Let himself down in the final round of the Alfred Dunhill, somehow shooting 77. I'm not really sure how he did that. Are you?
No, not around St Andrews.
But anyway, so I'm looking back to the Abu Dhabi event earlier this year where he shot 19-under and managed to hold off Rory McIlroy in that event. He's a good putter, Stahl. He went on to be fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic, another quality event. And I'm just hoping that this return to the Iberian Peninsula can get him going again. He's got some good form around this part of the world, better than he has in Britain, I would suggest, at any rate. So he's 29th for putts on greens in regulation on tour, 36th for putts per round. So he can definitely roll the ball well. It's a little bit of a speculative pick, and he is currently 125.
Yes.
Which I think in this field, for a guy who's won already this year, is a decent price. A couple of other top tens. Yeah, he could let us down. Of course he could. If he continues playing like he did in the final round at St Andrews, he definitely will. But I like him as a player, and I think if he gets the putter going, he might have a decent week.
Good stuff. I'm going to go with Nicholas Coulthard as my pick here. I know you've already mentioned.
You didn't like bombers.
No, I don't not like bombers. I'm just saying I don't think it's as big a. I'm going with him because of his course form mainly. Yeah. In all honesty, he finished second last year and 15th the year before, and we all know he's a quality player. He's not quite shown it yet this year, but he was in the market at 66-1, but he has been chopped to 50-1, which sort of puts me off slightly. But I'd picked him before he got slashed, so I think I've got to stick with him. We have seen, as Dave's mentioned, bombers have success here, and even though he's not been maybe firing all cylinders, Coulthard of late, he opened up with a 60 here last year, finished 15th the year before, and he has had good rounds recently that show he can go low with his game in the state it's in right now. Had a 65 at the KLM, had a 63 at the Italian Open, 66 in the European Open in recent weeks as well. He's had problems putting four rounds together on tracks that pressure the long game. This is one where it doesn't really matter, and I only see it as a matter of time before he gets four rounds together, and I think 50s is fair enough for Nicholas Kolsarts.
I quite like him as well, but I was going to do him for first round leader.
Yes.
He does seem... Events he's come out of the blocks fast, or just the fact that he'll throw in a long, short one somewhere.
First round leader Nicholas Kolsarts is 40-1.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe a little bit shorter than you want.
Disappointing that, yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does come out with a fast one, because he's done that before, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he's my sole pick in this event.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm sticking to the idea of a bomber who can put well, doesn't always put well. But the guy who I'm going for, don't look for any consistency. You're either going to have done your money after about a round, or you've got a genuine chance. Pelle Edberg.
Okay.
Last six events, he's got miscut, miscut third, miscut, miscut second. And if you go a bit further back, 81st, 4th. So it's obviously, it's feast or famine, isn't it?
Classic, yes.
Classic feast or famine form. Mm. Obviously, if you're taking the good results in there, you could say if you'd backed him each way, you would have collected three times in the last nine starts. So obviously, he can come up with the goods. He's 8th in driving distance this year. And at the Porsche European Open, that was the one in Germany, he actually topped the putting stats as well, so it's kind of, if he can piece it together,
yep,
then I think we might have a runner in the meet. He's 100-1, so as I say, it's one of those ones, it could, if he shoots 78, it wouldn't surprise me, but it seems to be when he does get a sniff, then he can keep it going. So if he has an on week, because of those big finishes as well, he's one of these players who's sort of been on the fringes, hasn't he, before. He's popped up every now and again, and you always think he's got a perennial battle to keep his card, but he's fine this time. So I think he might just be able to freewheel listen and maybe get right in amongst the mix. Certainly 100-1, I think he's worth a chance.
Yeah, three picks at good prices there.
Yeah, they're decent prices, aren't they?
Yeah, in this
They're all a bit speculative, aren't they, to be fair, because and the prices reflect that. But given that this is a bit of a birdie fest, I think it makes sense to have a bit of a good.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Honourable mentions then here in this event. We've had our three picks, going with Nicholas Kolsarts 50-1, Gary Stahl 125, and Pelle Edberg at 100-1. Mentions, Mike?
Lee Slattery's in good form, ditto Thomas Peters, but I think I missed the boat on Thomas Peters, unfortunately. You could argue at 33, he's not a horrendous price this week, having said that.
He's been cut 28.
Is he 28? Oh, right, well, that's even worse, isn't it? Yeah, but other than that, it's an interesting event, but it's not like it's a bit of a lottery, isn't it? I think that'd be my view.
Yeah, Eddie Pepperell was on my list, 40-1. 5 of 8 winners of this championship have been from the UK or Ireland, and I think 40-1, having seen Fitzpatrick win last week, got decent banker form, didn't play badly last week at Woburn either.
I think the last three winners have been 26 and below.
So yeah,
Levy. Certainly Tom Lewis in 2011, Shane Lowry won it as well.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the last three or four.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, a young winner can certainly pop up in this event. So, yeah, I agree with Eddie Pepperell. I think Eddie Pepperell and a bit shorter price, Tyrrell Hatton. I think those two young Englishmen, it might be, you know.
It's tough with Tyrrell Hatton, isn't it? Because Pepperell's a similar price to the one he was last week.
Yeah.
But Hatton's dramatically shorter.
Hatton's done well in the Middle East swing, hasn't he? So maybe he likes a bit of sun on his back, where Pepperell's best form this year has all been on links courses. So,
But what's he called? Bernd Wiesberger, I suppose, but 12-1's very short.
Yeah, I do think he'll run a big race, but it's a pretty
coarse and current form, hasn't he?
He struggled a little bit. His ball striking's been brilliant, and he struggled a little bit with the putter.
Yeah, that would put you off a bit, wouldn't it? Yeah. But he's still in good form, isn't he? So
yeah, he was fourth at Dunhill. I think he'll run a big race. Yeah.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, and you had to put well in that event, didn't you? You had to be low in that event. So
yeah.
Yeah, but 12 is short, to be fair.
And just one other before we move on. Ben Evans at 125-1, another Englishman who's got a good body of recent work. 8th in the Russian Open, 12th in the KLM. Had a couple of disappointing weeks on the back of those weeks, in inverted commas, in contention. And finished 19th at the Alfred Dunhill on his last start. He's a big price at 125 as well.
Down with Thomas Bjorn at 125.
Yeah.
He's gone off the boil, hasn't he? He's got some form here, but we're backing him this week, I don't think.
Maybe getting a bit long in the fang, as Lord Budden would say.
Perhaps.
There might be an Indian summer waiting for him next year. You never know. Let's get stuck into this this championship then. Kickstarts the PGA Tour.
You confused me there, Dave. You changed the prices that quick. I thought that, I thought that George McNeil was playing in Portugal alongside Jerry Kelly and Sean Stefani.
This is the Fize.com Open. The first event of the 2016 season here. First of 47 events on the PGA Tour schedule.
47, is that all?
Just that. Who says there's too much golf here?
Not me.
Could squeeze in an extra five
Surely.
Weeks in there, couldn't you at least?
Could have a Christmas Day special.
This was a good event last year. We got Sangmun Bae here.
Well done, Dave.
125-1. I think that was the last winner from a personal perspective anyway on the podcast. He won by two shots from Stephen Bowditch, but of course he's not here this year.
Why did you pick him last year?
Because I had that
was there any
there was kind
logic?
Of a tie-in with the it was mainly on price. There's a little bit of a tie-in with Riviera. He played well at Riviera California in the Northern Trust Open.
He'd been the halfway leader twice.
So I think that was it basically. So not any.
I just wonder if you were using a similar
great
tactic.
Insight.
This is your event.
I've got a similar tactic here. A little bit about the golf course, first of all. Silverado Country Club hosted for the first time last year. The championship had previously been held at Cordoval. Courses are pretty similar in design, though. And if you're looking at the form that correlates, do check out the Northern Trust Open, which is played at Riviera, also in California. Both classic golf courses that require similar attributes. But having looked at this leaderboard last year, Mike, we had an eclectic mix, didn't we? We had youngsters Sangmun Bae, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, John Curran have good weeks. But then we had Bryce Mulder, Retief Hoosen, Martin Laird and Hunter Mahan all mixing as well. So tough to get a real handle, pigeonhole a specific type of player suited to this test.
I'd say, if anything, it's a bit of a ball striker's course. And, you know, everyone seems to say that you've got to hit good irons. Accuracy off the tee and distance don't seem massively important, but you do have to hit it close to the hole, so you've got to be a good second shot player. So that strokes gain tee to green is the stat that I looked at. So yeah, I think there's a lot of those kind of players up there. It was a good first time they played it there, obviously, so only 1 year to go on. But again, another pretty low score, so you're going to have to score again this. You can get your birdies again this week, aren't you? So I'm glad to get a full event PGA Tour back, and it's competitive and there's some decent prices, I think.
It's good to get an event where Day and Spieth aren't.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, God for that. Him to winning every week.
Rory's there, isn't he? But whether he's fully tuned up this week is going to be a
question. I could leave
him
this week. He was with the Irish rugby guys on Monday, wasn't he? So.
And then he's been watching Northern Ireland, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah.
In Euro 2016 qualification, so he's probably celebrated that as well.
There's been a couple of articles written about McIlroy and Justin Rose's attendance at this event, and it goes back a couple of years to when they went and played in the Turkish Airlines Open for a big sweaty wad of cash.
All right.
And they committed to play an opening season event on the PGA Tour, apparently. So that's why I think McIlroy and Rose wouldn't be here if they didn't have to be here, would they?
I'm glad they're there because they make the market.
And they do make the market.
And I think you can take them both on at those prices.
Yeah,
fours and eights.
I'd agree, yep.
I agree.
You've been saying that about Jason Day and Spieth and John Spieth
every week.
I had a little look between them. They've only ever had one top five in a Californian event.
Is that right?
Play event, and that was 2007.
That's
so
interesting.
So that I had an idea that I can't really remember them ever playing well on that West Coast.
Yeah,
and that backs it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting stat. I've got two picks here.
Yeah,
go first.
Okay, I'm going Brian Harman as my number one selection at 100-1 here, a point each way. Just the one win on the PGA Tour for Harman so far in his career. That came at the John Deere Classic in 2014, but I think at a triple figure price, he's a decent bet this week. He's only played the Fize once, finished seventh. That was at Cordoval a couple of years ago. His best chance to win on the tour last season was at River Highlands on a leaderboard with a number of very good ball strikers, something that might already referenced as a positive here. He finished third in the Northern Trust Open, so there's that link as well, back at Riviera in 2014. he should be very well suited to a technical golf course, in my opinion, Harman. His best form tends to come on tracks where you've got to nudge the ball around the golf course. Had a little bit of success in the playoffs, a 12th place finish in the Deutsche Bank, followed by a 53rd, which finished his season in the BMW Championship. Hopefully he comes into this fresh and ready to go on a course that should play to his strengths. I thought he was overpriced, so I'll play a point each way, Brian Harman, at 100-1 as my first selection.
Very good.
Yeah, good one, that. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, I'm keeping it fairly simple. Whereas I said McIlroy and Rose, you don't think of them, you don't think those two are West Coast, you just don't think that. You do, I think, with Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
Had lots and lots of good form on that side of America. In this event, played it twice, top three twice. He was third at, how are you saying it, Cordeval or...
Yeah, Cordeval.
Cordeval.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he was third there in the first running, and then he was third at this course last year. Also fourth in the Northern Trust at Riviera last year, which we've used as a link. So if you look at his record on the West Coast, he's teed it up six times. His worst, well, five of those he's finished 23rd or better, and he would have collected three times each way. He got overshadowed at the back end of the year with Day and Spieth going mad. It was all about them, wasn't it? But quietly, sort of under the radar in the four FedEx playoff events, he was 13th, 25th, 7th and 12th. So he kept his hand in. Then a nice little, don't know, it's just a coincidence, or but he who did he partner at the President's Cup? Sang Moon Bae, the previous winner of this event. So a little coincidence factor there, maybe. But they did actually play well. They hammered somebody 6 and 5. Matsuyama won his singles against JB Holmes, so he had a good week there, and I think he's just fine. If anyone's used to flying back from Japan to America, it's him, isn't it? He can handle that, and he's that 16-1 each way price that I like. I think if he'd been 12 without those two in the market, it would have really McIlroy and Rose. I think it would have really ruined it for me this week in terms of having a bet on Matsuyama. But 16s, I think it's fine. I think double the price of...
I'd have been picking another 16-1 shot for Dave Tindall, wouldn't you, if I'd have had to have a bet?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm
firm at bigger prices than...
Do you? I'm
bigger
just,
events.
My only concern with Matsuyama would be the President's Cup having played. That would be a factor for me.
I think you often see players play well after big team events. I think because they've sort of got up for it and they just keep going, and that was quite a buzz as well around
the week after
the tournament. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Matsuyama, he just ticks every box for me. His stats are great. You look at every stat, he's putting well. Great greens in regulation. I just think he's gonna be a big star, isn't he? And this is a really good chance for him to sneak an early win.
Loads of ability, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, your selection?
I've gone for a Californian native, actually, here. Brendan Steele's my pick. Four top 15s in his last eight events on tour. Well, actually, one of them includes France, to be fair, the French Open, where he was six. But 12th in the PGA Championship there not so long back. 13th in the BMW on his last tour at start, a playoff event. Very good ball striker, top 20. For that and for strokes gained tee to green. 12th for birdie average, I think, is going to be important this week. His putting he's not renowned for his putting by any means, but he certainly knows how to get birdies. He's 12th on the birdie average stats, as I say, so I'm hopeful that he can get to that 20 under.
Yep.
That will. What do you think will win this one?
I don't think it'll be as low as 20.
No. But you still need to get well into double figures, weren't you?
I think so. Yes. I think every single year's been at Cordeval between 12 and 15, that sort of range.
I think you'll
need 13, 14.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that he can get to that kind of figure to win and add to his win roster on tour. He's a good player. Had a very good season, the 2014-15 season. I think 66-1 is a big price for him.
It's not an easy golf course, is it, this one? I think it's one of those where you've either got to play incredibly well from tee to green, or you've got to scramble well. You know, it's one of those where you've got one department of your game's got to be absolutely exemplary for you to contend here.
Yes.
Brendan Steele, 66-1. I have got another pick here. I'm going with an obvious pick at the prices, I think. Robert Streb is my selection at 40-1. Coming off that breakout year last season, he'll want to prove he's no flash in the pan, and with Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose taking so much out of the betting, just gives me a little bit of juice with Robert Streb at 40-1 here. His win on tour last season, came at the start of the season in the McGladrey, also played well in the Sanderson Farms, which is in the neighbouring state in Nevada. I think he's going to be one of those players that he'll have seen the President's Cup last week and think, I want to get on that team event in the Ryder Cup. And he's got a squeak if he plays well again this season. He ranks highly in greens in regulation and the putting stats. Overall profile, very, very solid. And at the Tour Championship, took himself out of contention with a couple of poor opening rounds Thursday and Friday, but bounced back with a 69 on Saturday and a 65 on Sunday to finish mid-division. I think this is a good opportunity for him to play well early on in the season again, like he did last season. So 40-1, Robert Streb is my second pick, a point each way. Honourable mentions then, chaps. Who came closest for you, Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, Tony Finau.
I thought you'd pick him.
Well, it was kind of the price borderline. I wanted 40s. We've got him at 33s. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, this is when they first really knew who on earth he was. Last year, he played great, didn't he, they still call it the fall series, but in these events, pre-Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
I think he was 12th in this very event and just looked like a player who would, you know, he was being hyped, wasn't he? But he did live up to it. He went on to, I think, get 5 top 10s. He got a top 10 in the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits at the end of the year. Mm. He just looks like a surefire hit, I think. I just think he's got a lot about him. He's great for the...
Surefire hit? I like
it. Surefire hit. he's very kind of marketable, isn't
yes,
he?
And
he's got the game, I think, to back it up. So 33, this may well look a sort of price that you think, oh, was he really 33? He's in that. Mm. If he comes like fifth this week, he'll go off without those two in the market. Pretty horrible price next week if he's in it. So it's borderline, yeah. Honourable mention, definitely. Okay. If I was having a second bet, yeah, he would be my man.
I looked at Ches Reavie a bit. He's been in great form on the web.com tour, but he's probably been spotted in the market, to be fair, down 80s.
Yeah. There's a few of those who play well in that web.com.
Yeah, Emiliano Grillo. Yeah. He's got a win at last.
You know what? And I think he's a 40s. I think he's a decent price.
He's short now, isn't he, at 40s? But he wants watching because, you know, that whole thing of getting that win off, a bit like Jason Days, we said already, once you get a big win, it can transform your... I know web.com win's not big, but it's a win, isn't it?
I don't think he is that short at 40s.
Don't you?
I was tempted because if you had... Fitzpatrick won last week.
Yeah.
If you had to buy stock in Fitzpatrick or Grillo. Who would you go for? Who's going to...
Well, that's a tough question.
Yeah, it is a difficult question. I know we're speculating here, but... I think Fitzpatrick. Do you think so? Mm. I think Emiliano Grillo.
I like them both. It's hard. That's a very tough question, that one, yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I don't know. On their respective tours, I think Fitzpatrick will do better on his respective tour because it's too competitive, isn't it, the PGA Tour. I think Grillo's got too many to beat to have a sort of multi-win season. But, yeah, I mean, you could argue... him and Reavie, and Reavie's not in the same league, I don't think, but in terms of results, I think both of them have got a first and a second in the last three web.com events,
that's
and
right.
Reavie's double, isn't he, 80s compared to Graham's 40s.
Yeah, I suppose.
There's other, that's Sam Saunders, Arnold Palmer's grandson, he's 100-20, he finished top three, I think, didn't he, in the web.com Tour Championship. You kind of think, oh, he's going to be like sort of Gary Nicholas and just be a bit naff.
I think Gary Nicholas won a tour event though, didn't he?
No, he nearly won. He lost Nicholson the playoff to Mickelson. Yeah,
that's right.
You sort of feel a bit sorry for those guys. They sort of disprove the theory of evolution, don't they? That each generation gets better. No, they don't. But he could go well. I'm not quite sure what his level is. Sam Saunders, I can't quite. Isn't he brave?
Gary Nicholas will be sitting in his mansion in Florida. At least ET
he won't be bothered, will he? He won't be bothered.
Spending the golden bet.
How those guys on the golf podcast think I look.
Yeah.
He won't be worrying about that, will he? I think Sam Saunders is just one of those names that occasionally pops up, doesn't he? And because it's Sam Saunders, he gets so much television coverage.
Yeah.
You notice him there. You notice, oh, there's Sam Saunders.
But I expected him to be sort of worse. I expected him to sort of vanish completely. But he seems to... Maybe he's kicking on. I don't know.
Mm. I liked Matsuyama, but I just thought his price was a bit short. But then Shikau could go well here this week.
We talked about that.
What's that?
Three podcasts. It's 50-1.
Oh, no, with us, yeah, he's
short, isn't it?
Mark Adsett's clearly
that
takes
that
a swerve.
Keep, isn't he?
Yeah, that he's a definite keep because at 80-1 he'd be short.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
50-1. I would have picked him if he'd been triple figures. I think
would you?
Ishikawa, yeah.
He won in Japan a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he did.
And played well on the West Coast before.
Yeah,
he's only 23 as well. Still, I think it's someone who you think, oh, come on, get a move on.
I've seen worse prices than 80-1 Russell Knox, but he just needs to win, doesn't he? Just
yeah.
The stats are always good, and he kind of tempts you, but doesn't ever seem to go very close to winning.
I agree. Yeah,
not enough anyway.
He's one of those top 20 guys, isn't he?
Did he get in a playoff last season? I think he might.
Yeah.
But he
was in the playoff when Henley won, wasn't he?
Yeah. Why isn't he in the mix more often? He's just always finishing just out of it a bit, isn't he?
It's like that Will Wilcox has got incredible stats.
Exactly.
What does he do?
Exactly, Dave. I nearly said him as well. Both of those came up on my kind of radar, but they never quite follow it through, do they?
No, I've been.
I like winners, don't you? I like people who win.
Well, look, someone like you're looking at there, Jonas Blixt, 125s. He's either kind of
he's a winner, though,
winner,
when he gets
or he's
there.
Does nothing, yeah, sort of thing. So,
ditto Carl Pettersson. Those two are good Swedes who know how to win the 125s, aren't they? I'd rather have them than some of those non-winners lower.
Some of them are Ben Martin, 125s. That could look a price, couldn't it?
There's a couple of those, isn't there? I thought you might, Mike, have had a look at Brendan Todd.
I had a long look at Brendan Todd because he's a very good putter, and was going very well in his final playoff event, not the Tour Championship because he didn't make that, but he dropped off, didn't he, in round four?
Yeah,
he's I like Brendan Todd. He's not a long hitter, but he's streaky. He can get, and he knows how to win.
He is streaky, definitely. When he gets going with the putter,
he was actually on my list, Dave. But I had about 9 players on my list, so he wasn't that selective. But I thought there was only one that I thought was about the right price.
It's going to be a good week, chaps.
It's great to have it back, isn't it?
It's good to have the PGA Tour back after a few weeks off. McIlvoy, the 4-1 favourite this week. Justin Rose, 8-1, and it's 16-1 and bigger the rest. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest, Mike, to making the cut?
Reavie in the US for me. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, I'd be Emiliano Grillo in the US and Eddie Pepperell in the European event.
Yeah, I'd be Finau in America and Wiesberger in Europe.
Okay. Selections then, chaps. Mike, start with your couple of picks.
I've gone for Gary Stahl at 125s and Brendan Steele in the US event at 66, both a point each way.
Yeah, I'm going with Brian Harman at 100-1 in the US event, a point each way, and Robert Streb at 40-1. And in Europe, I'll stick with Nicholas Kolsarts, 50-1, and play him a point each way. Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, I'll go 2 points each way, Matsuyama at 16s.
Ooh, and bullish.
At 16, you've got to
push the boat out.
Yeah, if he wins and you've only got a point each way, that's not good enough. And a point each way, Pelle Edeberg in Europe.
Good stuff. We've got a reset here as well. Start of a new season.
Yeah.
So anyone out there tracking the point system can reset
again,
it. Reset it. We'll start again. Thank you, Mr. Grennan, for your company.
Thank you, David.
And thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can get us on iTunes as well. And you can follow us all on Twitter at dkellner, at mgrenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Good luck with your bets in the Portugal Masters and the fries.com. And we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.